can turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 7. This is a good time to do that. Give you a little of the background of this text. Deuteronomy is really a sermon. It's actually a series of sermons. It's the longest sermon recorded in the Bible. Moses is standing on the plain of Moab, and that is in modern-day Jordan, and he's preaching his last sermon to the gathered people. And when he's finished, he will climb Mount Nebo. He will look into the promised land, and then he'll die. Here are some of the words that he passes on to the people. Listen for the word of God. "Israel, listen," said Moses. "Our God is the Lord, only the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house, and when you are out and about, when you are lying down, and when you are getting up." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? God, we placed ourselves in this church before you to gain your strength, to get help with our burdens, to gain the ability to do your good works in this world. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Good morning, I'm Chris Neen. I am the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. Welcome. I'm really glad that you're here. If you reach into your bulletin, you'll find the new GPS. That's new every week. There's people that work really hard on that, tying the scriptures in that to the topic that we're talking about today. If you remember in Jesus' life, before he ever made a big decision, he would go away by himself and he would spend the night in prayer. I wonder how many bad relationships, bad jobs, bad experiences in our life would have been avoided if we would just follow that practice before we make the big decision to just spend time in prayer. That's what a daily quiet time affords us. It gives us that opportunity to say, "Lord, I'm really trying to figure this out. Could you please guide me? Could you please help me?" I hope you've taken up this challenge. I was looking at the news and I saw this study that was done in the Institute of Business and Home Safety. That's down in the Carolinas. There's a $40 million laboratory down there. And the thing is, it can create hurricane tornado force winds. And what they did is they built two houses, both identical, 1,300 square feet, one with traditional building methods. And then the other house they built with a new, relatively simple technology that connects all of the building to the foundation of the house. Rather than explaining to you what happened, you can just watch the screen and see what happens. So which house do you want to live in? Moses is standing on this plain in Moab, and he is trying to help the people connect their future to the foundation of this faith that they have been learning about, putting together while they've been wandering around in the desert. Remember, he received the Ten Commandments in the desert. He received instructions on how to build the tabernacle in the desert. They've got this history built up that he doesn't want them to forget. And on the plain of Moab, he's passing this all on. And the thing that you and I need to remember is that we also have a role in passing this on to the next generation. So we want to learn how he did this so we can do that successfully in our own life. First thing he's doing is he's passing on leadership. He's passing on the leadership of the Israelite people to Joshua. If you look at Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse 7 and 8, Moses said, "Then Moses called Joshua forward, and with all Israel watching, he said to Joshua, 'Be strong and fearless, because you are the one who will lead this people to the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them. You are the one who will divide up the land for them. But the Lord is the one who is marching before you. He is the one who will be with you. He won't let you down. He won't abandon you. So don't be afraid or scared.'" So who will the godly leaders be in the future? Well, we're deciding that right now. And godly leaders today, and we're all godly leaders, every one of us is called to be a passionate leader of Christ in our situation in life. Each one of us has been called to sing something, answer something, teach something, preach something, build something, create something, offer something, give something. But there's a certain point when, as we're practicing our own calling, we're going to pass that on to someone else, our children and our grandchildren. If we fumble, if we drop the baton, that means disaster for that next generation. It'll probably be okay for a little while, but things will begin to erode. Do you remember in the 2008 Olympics what happened? Not one, but two of our relay teams, both the men and the women's 4x4 relay team, dropped the baton. They were by far the best teams on the track, had the fastest records. Both of them dropped the baton, and they lost because of it. Well, this isn't a foot race. This is life. And that successful transference of what we know to the next generation is all of our responsibility. Moses on that plain is saying, don't forget our history. Don't forget our worship practices. These are crucial to the success of this people when you enter into the promised land. If you look at Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 20 and 21, Moses said, "In the future, your children are going to ask you, 'What's the meaning of the laws, the regulations, the case laws that the Lord our God commanded you?' And you tell them, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before your own eyes, the Lord performed great and awesome deeds of power against Egypt, Pharaoh, and his entire dynasty.'" Don't forget, each one of your families has a history. Both victories and failures, both heroes and heroines and bums. And you know what? We want to remember all of that. One of the things I like about the Christian faith is you know what I mean when I talk about the Inquisition. That was a black eye in the church. You know what I mean when I talk about the Crusades. That was a horrible time in our church's history. Why? Because we don't want to forget our failings as much as we want to remember those people who faithfully followed the example of Christ and made the ministry of Christ continue for their generation. We want to remember these things, the lessons of the past. You probably don't know that this is the 350th anniversary of the burning of London. In 1666, the city burned to the ground. It was a four-day fire. And the British, being who they are, they built up a huge wooden model of what London looked like in 1666, and they brought it down to the River Thames, and they burned it. People gathered around to watch it. Why would they do something like that? Well, there were historians that were there. There were leaders that were there, and they said, there are lessons from what happened in the past. The city was destroyed, but there were men and women who stepped forward and said, we can learn from the past mistakes. We can rebuild this city. It was really the beginning of New London after that disaster. That's an important part of their culture and their national character, is going through a trial like that and rebuilding. We do the same thing in the Christian faith. How many of you are wearing crosses right now? Or you can see a cross. The cross is the worst torture that you can possibly imagine. Why would we remember such an awful thing? We tell this story and we retell this story of Christ in the last week of his life and that horrible death that he had to suffer through, which looked like a complete defeat, but by the power of God and the mercy of God, God made that a victory for all of us. And in telling that story, we keep reminding ourselves that the worst thing in our life is not the last thing when we're trusting in Jesus Christ. That the power of God and the mercy of God is at work in our lives as well. Moses is saying, remember who we were. We were slaves in Egypt, and God redeemed us. So that you can know that when you're going through difficulties in your life, God will redeem you again. And he passes on the worship practices. This is an important part of the church. We, as a group of gathered Christians, have started a Res Children's Sunday School, a Res Youth Program, an Overflow Youth Ministry, a 3-year confirmation program, adult study classes. Why? So we can pass on the faith, the lessons of our faith to the next generation. This is a fundamental responsibility that we have as the followers of Christ. Moses says, more than anything else, don't forget who your God is. He's passing on the faith. Hear, O Israel, our God is one. He is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength. Who are we without our faith? Who will we become as a nation if we forget our God? Greg Barna wrote a book, Revolutionary Parenting. George Barna. And he's saying, you know, for parents that aren't thinking about it, you'll have kids and you'll parent by trial and error. You know, you'll try something. If that doesn't work, you'll forget about that. If it does work, you'll do more of that. And if you have 3 or 4 kids, hopefully by the last one, you'll have figured it out and that kid will turn out okay. But as people of faith, we've been taught to be very intentional about passing on the lessons of our faith, teaching our children the Word of God, modeling for them what that looks like, to live for that in our own life. We do that not only in the church, but we do that in our homes. But the great risk that if they forget this, they're forgetting quite possibly hundreds of years of lessons, and they have to relearn those all on their own. See, the thing that Moses is worried about, the thing that godly leaders are worried about, is that we'll get spiritual amnesia and we'll forget where our blessings came from. Who created us? Moses is saying in the 8th chapter, verse 11 through 14, watch out, don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commands or his case laws or his regulations that I'm commanding you right now. When you eat and get full and build nice houses and settle down, when your herds and your flocks are growing large, your silver and your gold are multiplying, everything you have is thriving, don't become arrogant, forgetting the Lord your God. Verse 17, don't think to yourself, my own strength and abilities have produced all this prosperity for me. remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you the strength to be prosperous in order to establish the covenant he made with your ancestors. And that's how things stand right now. It's easy for us to get prideful and think, look what I've accomplished. Thank you, Mary. But that'll last for about one generation, and then everything will begin to erode and decay. It's crucial for us to remember that we need to pass on where these blessings come from with a humble heart and attitude. As we raise our children into adulthood, at that point, they'll have the responsibility of embracing this faith that we passed on to them or not, and they'll live with the consequences of that. They'll have the responsibility of passing on to the next generation or not, and they'll have to live with the consequences of that. But for right now, as we follow the example of Moses, we need to remember, don't have spiritual amnesia. Remember where these blessings came from. Remember last week I was talking about Abraham Lincoln. I came across this quote, and I saved it for this week. In 1863, he says this, "It is the duty of nations as well as men and women who owe their dependence upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and their transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with the assured hope that through genuine repentance, that will lead to mercy and pardon. And to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by history that those nations are only blessed are those whose God is the Lord. The awful calamity of the Civil War, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins. To the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people, we have become intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, to pray to God out loud. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has grown, but we have forgotten God." Does that seem relevant to today? We can't control what other people remember or don't remember, but we can control what we remember and pass on. So as we're wrapping up this sermon series on Moses, the greatest leader in Israel's history, the one who the scriptures say knew God face to face, remember that the promised land isn't just a place, it's an ideal. It's a good life, and we all want to have a good life. But we believe that that good life comes through honoring God and following His teachings in our life. And more than anything else, what we want to remember about what Moses taught us is it's our responsibility to pass this on. Amen?